The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Miracles do happen. It's Expository Thursday on Thursday, and we're diving into Ephesians chapter 5. How important is the spiritual principle like father, like son? Plus, we take a moment to talk about a moment versus a lifetime. And finally, the proof is in the pudding, like the doing of it, not chocolate pudding.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And right now, everybody's doing a little bit of surviving, a little bit of living, and a little bit of prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, we'll see. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to text us, 214-210-8483. Just in case you're wondering if we're doing trivia, yes, we are. And I'm going to start off with a really tough trivia question. I'm even starting it this way, just so you can know. Okay, hold on. Get ready. Jesus used a few different literary genres to communicate his message. What was his most favorite or most used literary genre to communicate his truths? If you know that, text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I'll respond to that a little later on. Keep in mind, any topic still open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio. I'm doing this out of my house, folks. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Today being Expository Thursday means that we're not going to be doing our live reads. We're going to do a few other things, but I do want to get into a very important range of holidays, which is more important to me than it is to you, but just thinking about it makes me really hungry, and I haven't eaten today. So let me tell you that today is National Eggs Benedict Day. That's my favorite breakfast in the whole world. It's also National High Five Day, but you can't do that anymore, so not so much. National Librarian Day, which there's not a lot of libraries the same way, so not so much. And then National Stress Awareness Day, and I am aware mine is too high. For those that really care, this is for my brother Billy, it's Mushroom Day. I like mushrooms, but he doesn't, and we could never get a pizza with mushrooms on it. And speaking of pizza, it's International Pizza Cake Day. Listen to this. According to the legend, the first pizza cake, a cake that looks like a pizza, was created by Chef Gundermura for the wedding of France's Duke of Angoulême and Italy's Lady Morelio. So for those that think they can say that any better, you got to get your own talk show. Also on this day in 1994, the first woman was inducted into the National Comedy Hall of Fame, Minnie Pearl, known for her trademark howdy and a price tag of $1.98 hanging from her hat. She was the first woman to do that. Also, shout out to the women today. 1912 on this day, Harriet Quimby becomes the first woman to fly an airplane across the English Channel. Last but definitely not least, on this day, 1972, lightning strikes. Roy Sullivan is struck by lightning for the fourth of his 7 times that he was struck by lightning. If you got struck by lightning once, wouldn't you think, wow, that's really bizarre, right? Twice, you'd be thinking, is there a message? Three times, would you be thinking, are you mad at me, Lord? And then you getting up to 5 and 6 and 7, that's over. Oh, my God, you can't say too much more. All right, folks, get ready. Take a deep breath. Listen, everything that's going on is not everything that will always go on. Take a deep breath, okay? God is not lost in this process, and he hasn't lost your file, okay? So just take a deep breath. We're going to get to the trivia question towards the end. I will ask it one more time. We've already got a bunch of answers in. You guys are doing great. Simple question. Literary genre that Jesus used to implement or to preach his messages to the masses, what was that genre called? Yeah, it's not a Bible question, but it's a good question because he taught quite a bit from this process or from this method. All right, take a deep breath. Here we go as we get ready for expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's right. It's expository teaching time, and we're in the book of Ephesians. We're having so much fun. And you should be having fun, too. You should be taking it easy. Take a deep breath. I am not going to be able to get all of this material into this show. And I'm only doing two verses. Now, here's the key. It's technically a five-point message. And I'm going to read you Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, and you'll understand why there's so much depth. Verse 1 says this, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love."
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for
just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Yes, I know the phone call dropped, but I just picked it up from the exact spot it dropped at. So here it is again. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So it's pretty simple. We're going to talk about love in a couple of different levels. And then people think, well, you know, love, come on, Dave, that's like kind of an old hat message. People talk about that a lot. Who doesn't know about love? I just want to quote 2 Peter chapter 1 to you. This is what 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13 say. "Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I consider it right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder." The reason that there's four Gospels, you can come with a bunch of different elements, north, south, east, west. You can say it's prophesied through Ezekiel. It kind of breaks it down in Revelation. The real reason that there's four Gospels is we hear something, and if we don't hear it three more times, we go, huh? We're not that bright. We need help. We need reminders. That's what this is all about. And look at the scripture and what it says. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Let's just talk about that for a split second. This is a like father, like son element. And the simplicity of it is God wants you to imitate him. No, he doesn't want you to imitate him with the way that he will judge righteously. He's the only one that's good to judge because he's the only one that actually has all knowledge and knows every little nuance to every situation. What he wants you to do is reflect the life that Jesus Christ demonstrated on the earth. So the challenge is, how? And the reality is, it's really tough to live a life that Jesus lived if you don't receive what Jesus gave. It's hard to give out what Jesus gave if you don't have it. And one of the things that Jesus did is he illustrated through his life, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the exact representation of the Father. And what happened when Jesus came across the leper who wanted to be healed and needed to be touched, but nobody was allowed to touch him? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And you think, yeah, well, that broke the law. Here's the response. You're not going to like it, but here's the response. Tough, because the compassion and the grace and the mercy of God are greater. The mercy of God is more powerful or more prioritized than the judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm not saying that to belittle anything. I'm saying that to help us step up. And I'm using that illustration of Jesus touching the leper as something that's important for you and I to imitate God in, and that is through Jesus Christ, the example of touching people who are untouchable. That's imitating God. That's being like him. That's walking in a way that communicates a message. It communicates a powerful gospel. Good news. And that good news is you can reach and touch a person who considers themselves untouchable. And when you do that, you're reflecting God. You're imitating your Heavenly Father. You're being like him. And so when you see something like be imitators of God as dearly loved children, we're going to get into the dearly loved section next, which is could take three, four hours, but I won't do it that way. I'm trying to give you this illustration, this picture of Jesus, of touching the untouchable. Why that's important is because that's what we should be imitating. We should be reaching to those who can't be reached or won't be reached, or people are afraid to even touch or talk to. Now, does that mean you're going to do something that you cannot or have never done? Well, probably not without the Lord's help, no. But that's the whole DNA process, right? Draw close to the Lord, never be ashamed, always be ready. Always be ready to touch somebody in the representation of God who doesn't think anybody will ever touch them. Got that? All right. Let me give you the answer to the literary genre. We had a bunch of answers in, and every single answer was right. I am amazed. Parables. Parables is how Jesus taught. Isn't that fantastic? I can't believe you guys all knew that. That's so impressive. I'm serious. That's really an excellent job. All right, we're going to take our break here and then come back. We got so much to cover. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience.
So we, being not...
completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be, celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree. And I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, you are welcome to text us. We can't take a call because of the situation, but you are welcome to text us. I get all the texts. I eventually respond to them all. It takes me a little while. 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. And for those who just love the trivia, and there's some of you that really do like it, I'm going to ask you a trivia question a little easier than the last question. But again, I'm not going to give the answer until the end of the segment, but here it is, a little easier. How did God appear to Moses in the book of Exodus? In their first encounter, how did God appear to Moses? Okay, there you go. 214-210-8483. Please don't forget hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. I do want you to be aware that we're a little behind, not a lot, just a little, and it's something that I want you guys to know, because even if you can't financially contribute, you can be praying with me that the Lord will open the doors. So I pray that he would open the windows of heaven and open the doors in the desert. That's how I pray it. So just be doing that. And if you can give, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. The radio interview that I did yesterday with Eagle Perch Radio will be on the site like in 48 hours. So you can hear that interview. It's a straight 28 minutes. It's long, but it's entertaining. It's Noah and I, my old producer, and we go back and forth and have a really good time and talk about keeping the right attitude throughout this process. Don't forget, email David at hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry, and David Spoon at Spoon Experience, because Rachmahanda. There we go. Noah was the one that gave me that, so that's why I do that. Okay, let's get back into the text. I want to get into the teaching text. I do want to remind you, the question, by the way, how did God first appear to Moses in the book of Exodus? If you think you know, 214-210-8483. We're keeping an eye on all of the sound systems, and if it works, if we have a problem and I have to disconnect and reconnect, we do it. We'll do whatever it takes just to be able to promote and encourage in the Word of God. Let's go back to the text we're talking about. Be imitators of God, therefore. Ready? Now, this might even make you weep. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. The problem that a lot of Christians have with understanding the love of God has to do with their own parents or their own authority figures loving them. The image of God has been greatly distorted by human image, and nobody in the world would deny it, in the sense that we, even as parents or grandparents, know that we haven't been the perfect ones. There's moments where we've probably failed. And sometimes that image gets thrust unto God. But that's not the case. And Scripture is quite clear as to what kind of father our Heavenly Father is. So when it says in verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, I think people have this concept that God loves us, but just enough to save us. Just enough to pull it off. In the context of his love has this, you know, parameter limit of 1 to 50, and he pretty much operates with us at like a 35. God doesn't have a 1 to 50 parameter the way we do. God doesn't love strictly based on your level of obedience. This is not about you being a seal with a ball on your nose and performing for God. God's love for you is not performance-oriented love. God's love for you is passionate, deep, in his system, so to speak, which is why we know it says God is love. Not God has love, he is love. It's part of his DNA, right? We've been talking about our own DNA. And I want to use a passage that I think really defines it for us at a higher level, and that's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. This shows us the dearly loved part. It says, look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. What I think goes on for some Christians is they think, well, God loves me, and I'm kind of a child of God, but it's not really till I get to heaven where I'm like a real child of God. And that is exactly the opposite of what Scripture teaches. It says that we are called the children of God. And then listen to this. And it says, and we are. You are a child of the Most High God. Your Heavenly Father rules the universe, and he loves you more than you have ever loved anything, including yourself. And then the Scripture says, the reason the world doesn't know us is it doesn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. You're not gonna be a child of God. You're not one day after Jesus comes back, whatever your eschatology, whether you think we've got to go through the rapture process and millennium process, and then after all that's done, but by golly, maybe you can be a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God right now. And your dad cares about you better than any dad your brain could ever imagine, better in every capacity, only disciplining for our benefit, only instructing for our benefit, only saying no to prayers for our benefit, because he knows what will and what won't hurt us. And everything he does, watch this, it's just overwhelms me. Everything he does has our best interests in mind. He has never done one thing in your life that was one millimeter, one zillionth of a millimeter less than his desire to bless you, to father you, to love you, to hold you. You know, when we go through all this stuff that we're going through on earth, I'm telling you, the main trouble in this process is our focus. I don't care what anybody says. This is the one thing that's truer than anything else. When Noah and I were doing the interview yesterday, he said, what is it that Christians can do in regards to the armor of God, which was a great question. And the real answer is the helmet of salvation, which is a helmet which protects your head, which has to do with salvation, which has to do with eternity. And everything God does for you is gearing you towards this eternity. And people look at the now and they don't see the great eternal things that God is laying down on a path for us. And if we could focus more on the eternity and less on the now, the frustrations and the pains and the disappointments of now would lose their power in the face of eternity with God. And everything God does for you and with you is for that eternity to be as perfect as it can be. That's how much he loves you. It's not like he owes you. I know people have this unique sense that God is, you know, well, he has kind of an obligation. He's God. He doesn't have an obligation, okay? He does what he wants. You can't tell him. You can't say to God, well, you said this, so you have to do this. I know we try to do that, but in reality, if God decided, okay, everything's gone, whoop, it'd be gone, okay? You can't undo that. Here's the bottom line. He commits, has committed, and will commit to your best interests because of how deep his love for you is. And it's just like, why? You know, I remember when I was a younger preacher, I was preaching in a church, and after I preached this message, somebody asked me a question. And they said, why does God love us that much? So I started to give a theological, you know, real smarty pants. Here's the answer. I've got it for you theologically. I'll give you all the answers. Hey, you want to know what the real answer is? We have no idea other than that's his character. It's who he is. He's committed. He makes this commitment to love us. Not a little, but a ton. Not just for a little while, but forever. And every time you mess up, and don't tell me you don't mess up, because I'm one of you. Every time you mess up, big or little, and then you come before the Lord, and you go, I really hope you can forgive me for this. It shows how little we understand the love of God. Would you ever tell your kid, when they made a mistake, nah, I can't love you anymore. Sorry. You would never do that. How much more true for him who set everything in motion for our benefit? Wow. Okay, yeah, the answer, by the way, to the trivia question, how did God appear to Moses in the book of Exodus? The answer is through a burning bush on the mountain of God. Good job. Excellent job, Eric. Way to go jump into that right away. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our break. We have so much more to cover. I just want you to hang in there and enjoy it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach out to us, you're welcome to. Our text number, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We are doing, I love doing expository. I do expository a little different than some people. I understand that, but I enjoy it so much because there is so much meat in the Word. So I'll teach expository. I also teach exegetically. I'll teach topically. I'll try to teach in different variations, even using genres and themes and whatever the case may be. This one, it's not hard to do because we're talking about the love of God, except what I'm about to do. You've had this happen to you before, and I'm not doing it to you because I dislike you. I'm doing this because, quite the opposite, I think this is the very kind of thing we need to be aware of. So in the passage that we've been talking about in this text, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." So we're supposed to reflect and imitate God, and the first part we talked about is that picture of Jesus touching somebody who never thought they could ever be touched by anybody, who thought there was nothing, no physical contact was going to come their way, and Jesus reaching out. What a beautiful picture of God. What a beautiful picture for you and I to recognize that's what he did for us. And then it says, as dearly loved children, because some of us have tied the image of God to some parental elements, and God is the perfect parent. He's not a parent. He's just the perfect parent. He's not flawed like we are, and we're pretty flawed. Then the next verse is the difference between the moment and the lifetime. And it says this, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Living a life of love. And you think, well, why is that important? Well, you know, I think people pretty much understand, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And in the mind of God, and in the heart of God, and in the writing of God, love is at the core. The summation for the commandments was love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we know the important principle. What we're going to talk about in the next segment is how that really looks, because we use love in our society like we use tacos. Like, yeah, taco. So it can be a hard shell, soft shell. It can be rolled up. It can be a street taco. I mean, we give it so many different elements. Well, that's all cute and stuff. But getting into the definition of love, it's easy to do, especially when you're in 1 Corinthians 13. But here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to use, and I've done it before, and you've heard me do it before, but I'm going to use my name in this text. And as you hear me say my name, I want you to insert your name and see how we're doing in living a life for of love. Before I do this, I want to point something out. You're not going to always perfectly walk in love. Stop that, okay? You can hardly love yourself, let alone your neighbor. Some people, it's true, they do love themselves excessively. I will acknowledge that. But the majority of us have a propensity to dislike ourselves. And then we don't like ourselves. We don't like anybody. Or we're kind of in a negative element there. This is a big part of understanding receiving from God. If God counts you worthy to be loved, then you're worthy to be loved. It's not your assessment that counts. It's his assessment. And he puts such a high value on you, just so you can know. Your cost ratio is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is greater than any monetary amount mankind could ever put together. You take the richest 15,000 people in the world, put them all together, take all their money, put it in a bank account, slap it in there and say, well, that's got a great dollar value. That does not equate to the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the price that God paid for you. You can't change that. That's not going to change. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, here we go. I'm just going to do, I guess I'll do verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and maybe 8. Here it is. Instead of love, I'm using my name. David is patient. Yeah, not that much. David is kind. Well, maybe when David is sleeping, David is kind. David does not envy. I don't think that's true. David does not boast. That's definitely not true. David is not proud. Okay. You see how this is spiraling down? Not going the way I want it to? David is not rude. Apparently, this was not a normal Jewish family growing up. David is not self-seeking. Sure, that's the case. David is not easily angered. Maybe a little on that one. David keeps no record of wrongs. That's not failure, folks. That's epic failure. David keeps no record of wrongs. I probably should delete that file on my computer, right? David does not delight in evil. I believe that's true. But rejoices with the truth. I believe that's true. David always protects. Always trusts. Not so much. Always hopes. Not bad. I'm close on that one. Always perseveres. David never fails. That's not true. So why I do that is because that love is supposed to be our actions. And yes, you're not going to do it perfectly, but this is what we should be seeking or striving for. And we do have moments where we do manifest these things, and that is good. But our goal is to manifest them more and more. And I'm just going to make it as simple as possible. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, if we're walking in a way that grieves the Holy Spirit, or if we're walking in a way that quenches the Holy Spirit, it's really tough to walk in love. Especially since the first fruit named in the structure is love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And if we're disconnecting, then we're short-circuiting ourselves. And this is what we need to be looking for, striving for, pushing for, not living just a moment of love, which I think every one of us has done from time to time, but living a life of love, a life that reflects these qualities. Let's see. This is just listen to this quality. I'm supposed to be patient, kind, don't envy, don't boast, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, doesn't like any kind of evil, rejoices in the truth, always protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, never failing. That's the standard. And the goal, let me rephrase that. That's the high standard. The goal is to keep going in those. Now, what I would do, and what I do, I think I do, is I go through this list, and I pick out the one that I'm just the worst at. Okay? I'll just be honest with you. Keeps no record of wrongs. Probably not my strongest element, because I, you know, as many of you know, before I first came to Christianity, it was kind of a cult situation, da 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 da. So kind of got burned in the beginning, da 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 da. That's the one I need to focus on consciously, saying, don't hold that against them. Well, this person is like this. They've done this, and I'm just gonna remember that wrong they did. They didn't respond the right way at this time, and I'm not gonna forget that. That's keeping a record of the wrongs. And we can't do this. What it means is that there's no forgiveness. There's no letting go. And yes, I've heard that expression 100,000 times. Well, I forgive them, but I won't forget. Okay, then you have not forgiven. Okay, you can say whatever you want, but the fact that you keep the record means that you haven't done the forgiving. Don't get mad at me. I'm not the one that wrote this book. I'm just telling you what it says. There's a couple of other ones. Patient, I think I've been doing a lot better in patience in the last couple of years since I came out to Texas. I blame Aunt Deb for some of that, because she was the one who said, well, the Lord's going to do a work in your life. And it's like, yeah, but I didn't know it was a two-year work of patience. So I blame her. And also, is not proud. I would never – that's not true. I mean, I'm very prideful. I have a lot of moments where I just, you know, speak out of turn, don't keep the right humility. In fact, my best prayer time is when I humble myself before the Lord and I tell him, I'm an idiot and I'm sorry. That's like the best time, because then at least whatever he says or whatever he does, it's kind of getting through and I'm not blocking it by saying, ain't I great? And there was a time where I thought that way too often. I was like, no, that's not right. And so in this list, it's good for you as a Christian, as a Bible-believing, born-again, God-fearing Christian, to go through this list and go, man, I really need to work on this one. I need to work on patience, or I need to work on being kind. I just need to be nice to people. I just need, instead of looking at people with a really fierce eye while we're driving on the road, I need to be a nice person. I think everybody in the hospitality element should read that. That's just my personal opinion. This is what our pursuit is, to live a life where we can read this in 1 Corinthians 13 and go, yes, I'm closing in on these things step by step. All right. All that stuff that we just talked about is going to get wiped away when we see the next segment. When I don't say wiped away, I mean it's really going to hit home. So when we come back, we'll go after it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to
you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to remind you, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. You can send us a text. Also, website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org, Facebook He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube He Must Increase Ministry. So many of you know that what we try and do when we're doing expository is really hammer into the depth of the Scripture. I mean, we're just trying to get into the nitty-gritty, into that core, break it apart piece by piece. And I do enjoy, by the way, teaching topically, but I just get a certain joy out of getting into the expository elements. When we discuss these scriptures, I never, and I just don't want you to think this, I never think everybody should be doing all of this stuff perfectly all the time. I have never seen that. I don't see that. I have never seen the most spiritual people be one-tenth as spiritual as people think they are. Here's what I would tell you. When you read the Word of God, and when you're getting into it, and you're really studying, these are things the Lord will, he'll teach you truths, he'll teach you character changes, he'll teach you goals to reach, he'll rebuke, he'll exhort, he'll encourage, he'll challenge, he'll chastise. God doesn't do any of that because he doesn't like you. He does all of that because he does like you. That's the whole point. And somebody that I know very well said to me, sometimes I don't like to read the Word because I feel guilty when I'm reading it and I don't do those things. But instead of ever feeling guilty, which is just the enemy using your feelings against you at the moment, you should use those things to come before the Lord and say, I'm not doing that, and I need help, and the only way I can get there is with your help. That's the approach to Scripture, not, you know, you're just a rotten, terrible person, human being, sinner, or, you know, I just do everything perfectly. It's like, no, it's just this honest reflection saying, Lord, I don't think my character's right there. I think I'm way off there. Can you help me? Can you help me do better? That's the intent. Don't, you know, it's the Scripture is not there just to spank you. Scripture is there to help you grow, to give you all the things that you lack from a spiritual point of view. And that's an important. The Word of God is fully equipped with the breath of God. Remember what happened with Adam? He was a piece of dirt, right? Until God breathed into him. Well, the Scriptures are God-breathed. So when you read the Scriptures, the breath of God comes upon you. And if you're sensitive to it, you'll know there's life and growth and spiritual uplifting when that process takes place. All right, now, I'll get off my little soapbox there. I've always been on a soapbox. I don't know what else to do. Let's go back to this last part of the Scripture. It's a really challenging. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. We talked about that. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So we're supposed to imitate God. And we talked about that picture of touching people. Dearly loved children, recognizing how deeply loved we are in God, living a life of love, not just a moment, not just one little spark, but trying to have a consistency there. And then it says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here is where it all comes down. I can talk to you about love for years, but until we recognize that the love that God is looking from us is to have a similar attitude or similar disposition to the love that Jesus demonstrated to us, and that how God demonstrated his love to us through Jesus, until we grasp that level, we're just going to be talking about it. There is a proof to the love of Jesus Christ. What is that proof? He gave himself up for the benefit of us. That required sacrifice. And to be truly honest, it required moments of pain and discomfort. Christians aren't called to love because it feels good. Christians are called to love because it's Christ-like. If you go back to John 3:16, we're going to kind of step back for a second and just listen to the passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The love of God is demonstrated in the act of giving and sacrificing. There are people that use that passage, and they'll use it for financial. Oh, that's why you have to give financially, and so on and so forth. You know what? That's a fantastic application if you're somebody on a stage trying to raise money so you can buy an airplane. Here's the bottom line. That love that God wants from you, that you are supposed to give, sacrificially give, that's your heart. Your wallet might be attached to your heart, but it all starts in your heart. And God wants you to give your heart to his kingdom and to being Christ-like. Even if it hurts. Even if it costs pain. I think there's an idea that Christian love means everything is like cotton candy and carnivals. And it's like, what are you talking about? Christian love involves enduring. It involves a patience. It involves long-suffering. It involves all of those elements. And how better illustrated than the actual sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he laid down his very... I think people think, well, you know, I mean, he lived this life, and he was by the Holy Spirit, and it was this, and it was... He was the creator. He created these lives. And these are the same lives that destroyed him. They just couldn't keep him down. He's the creator of these people that crucified him. He let life go into them. He had 12 guys, and one of them was Judas. He picked Judas. It wasn't I didn't realize one of the 12 would betray me. What are you talking about? He picked him and he poured himself into him, even though he knew that Judas was going to stab him in the back. Because he loved. It wasn't an accident. That was purposeful. That's the love of God, a willingness to give himself up for, a willingness to take it, a willingness to get to literally, in this case, get crucified, battered by his own creation. But he did it to demonstrate and to help and to change it because he loved. That's what we're called to. I think there's an idea that Christian love means you go to church on Sunday and you smile, and maybe even you go Wednesday night. Oh, Sunday and Wednesday night, woo. And you get to look at one another, and if somebody has a hat, you go, nice hat. Christian love is laying it down. It's sacrificing. It's, in many cases, suffering. I mean, at least C.S. Lewis, when he was laying stuff out, laid it out so well theologically. Look, you're going to have to give up to demonstrate the love of God. Yeah. What do you have to give up? You. So just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, that's the level of love we should be seeking to walk in. No, you're not going to do it perfectly, but you got to be aware of it. You got to ask God to help you grow in it. Because remember, you said yes to Jesus, and when you said yes, you said, I want to be like you, Jesus. Okay, well, here you go. Here's the debt's being called. The Lord's just making you like Jesus, just like you asked. But that means sacrificing. That means giving up. That might mean bearing some pain. But that's the love of Christ. And that's what we're called to. It's that love that gave him the capacity to forgive, to meet the needs of people, to pray and let people heal. That's serious. That's what we're called to. A life of sacrificial love that honors the Father, and how we prove it and how we do it and not just talk about it. That's serious. And you get to that serious level, it's like, wow. I pray for all of us that we can just take one step closer to genuine sacrificial love that reflects the heart and the mind of God and demonstrates the example of Jesus Christ. That would be awesome for all of us, okay? All right. I love you guys. I really hope this was a blessing for you. You know what's going to take place. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.